the name of it is Dangers of What You See. Dangers of What You See. And the reason is, think about this. When a con artist or when somebody wants to get your attention or make you go their way, they want you to see it their way. Okay, that's how they usually get you. You go to a place and they want to sell you something. They try to get it to you because they want you to see it their way. Difference is, Satan just wants you to see, believe it or not. And you're like, wait, hold on. So what's the matter with seeing? Well, the problem is we were never meant to allow our seeing to be what we do. Now, that's going to be crazy in certain cases if you really think about it, because that's exactly what we're doing. And I'm going to give you an example here. There's a psalm we're going to go over, an entire psalm, and it does a great job of breaking down an example. And it's even going to show us what I call a crossroads, that some have gone the wrong way, but we're going to see in the psalm he went the right way and how to do it. But let me show you how Satan works. First of all, Satan's plan from the beginning was to get us to see, seeing to our demise. That was his plan. The minute we engaged, the minute we seen, we start figuring it out, he stepped back, because then we were headed for a disaster. It says in Genesis 3, 1-7, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden?'" Now, first thing he checks is see how ignorant you are. Unfortunately, in today's world, he would have, they're right there, he'd already get you. Because most of us will go, "I don't know." Right? A lot of times he hits us with, "Is it really wrong to..." And you'll have people, once again, say they're Christians, spend no time in their Bible, no nothing else. So they'll go, "Well, I think it's okay," or I'm okay with it. And then you're already caught. Because we're supposed to know. But he first did that, okay? She answered, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden.'" So she's showing, "Oh, no, I know. Okay, I already have the answer to this," okay? Keep that in mind. The knowing part is a very important part of this, okay? And she knows, "And you must not touch it, or you will die." So she knows what not to do and the consequence. So she's clear, okay? Goes on, he says, "You will not surely die." So now he straight out lies. Okay? Because this is where you get some people too. We read something in the Bible, it's very clear. Now, if my priorities or the things I value are not in the right place, he'll get me here. Because he'll give me an avenue or an out not to follow God in order to follow what I desire. And that's where he went. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. Now look how he now engages a desire. "God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now he steps back because he already got her. That's why it says, "Then the woman saw." That's all he wants us to do. When I go, "Oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, I like the way things I see." Or even in reverse, "Oh, I don't like the way this is. Oh, I don't like what this is." In other words, the minute I start engaging and I start making an answer based on me, he got us. And if you notice, he doesn't say anything else. He steps away because the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate. All she had to do was see. Very common practice that's happening today. We know what the Bible says, but "I saw and it worked." Or, "I did what he said and it didn't work. So, I did something else." In other words, I acted upon not listening to God based off of what I see. She also gave some stuff to her husband and who was with her, and he ate it. But his problem was, we don't know. But he was wrong. He didn't go deep into what his problem was. But the problem was, he wasn't being the head like he should have been. Okay, but so you look at this package, all he wanted them to do was see. Okay, and that's the key. If I can just get you to see, that's what he's saying in the worldly way. And this is a struggle for the church today. This is why you hear churches changing their ways of how they're dealing with people. Now, in some cases, they're right, because churches of old still added a lot of their own junk in it. That's the stuff they should have got rid of. Unfortunately, now they're getting rid of that junk, which they should have, and they're also getting rid of stuff that the Bible says, which is, of course, not junk. It's valuable. It's sacred. But they're going, "Oh, but the people of today can't relate to this." And it's removed because the church is seen. They're going by what they see, not by what he says. Let me show you a strong example of this, okay? Now, remember, this example is just one example of many different situations in which this seeing can be very dangerous if we're not careful. So in Psalm 73, we're going to do the entire psalm. We're going to then break it down at the end. It says, though we know the truth, looking at how things can seem can cause us to slip. Okay? Though we know the truth. Now, this is for those who are in the Word and we hear the Word and everybody asks you, hey, is it okay to do this? You'll tell me no. However, you'll still do it. And if somebody asks, why did you still do it? Your reasoning will be your reasoning. Well, I did it. I didn't see anything wrong with it. And I see everybody else doing it. You'll give me all these answers instead of, I was wrong. And I got to avoid this ever happening again. Y'all see how this works? You know what I mean? In other words, getting away from this entire thing. But we don't do that. It says in Psalm 73, 1 to 2, he starts off with that knowing. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So he's showing God is faithful to his people. Okay? But watch what he started. He started off with, I already know this is God. I know how God is. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Be surprised, a lot of us are in that same case what he's in right now. Of God, if this and this doesn't happen, if my life doesn't change, or if you don't do this, or if you add this, or if I keep seeing this, I'm going to... Did y'all get that? Now, that should never be a conversation any of us have, but we do. And we almost want God to do what humans do today. Okay, I'll let you go ahead and do this. Okay, we won't do this anymore. But God doesn't do that. And that's a hard thing. And he's saying, I almost slipped. For example, things will seem unbalanced and unfair. So here's the one we're using as an example. So some who are looking in the world, you're going to see some people who are not Christians, but things seem to be going great for them. He says in Psalm 73:3-5, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. You're sitting there going, wait a minute. I'm serving you, God, and I got problem after problem, and I'm hurting, and this is going well, and this is not going well, and I'm not getting what I used to get. What's going on? And I'm watching this group who has absolutely nothing to do with you, and things are going great. Right? That's a struggle. I hear Christians even say that. They're like, because here's the problem. One of the worst preaching we ever did was do this and this will happen. Not what God said. Second thing we've done in our preaching that was wrong is we call, when things are working desirably, we call that blessed. Only. When you see somebody in a better position, oh, they are blessed. Somebody was happy with how things are going, they are blessed. That was us. God didn't say that. We did that. And because we did that, we're watching, we're looking at people in the world, and we're going, why is it working out for them? They're doing all this other stuff, and things seem to be falling in place. Exactly what he's saying here. And we not only see what seems to be unfair, we see their arrogant attitudes. We see their puffed upness. We see their confidence in it. In 6 through 12, it says, therefore, pride is in their, is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Let me stop there for a minute. So look what they're saying they're doing. And this is true. I've even seen this on a job one time. There was one person who was Christian doing right, and the boss was not. Boss was really mean, treated him this way. Basically said, if you don't do this, I will let you go. So, of course, the person, not doing it the way the Bible said, don't worry, God's not going to let this happen, blah, 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 he fired her. Now, unfortunately, she became very bitter towards God. Why would you allow this to happen, God? I was just following you. Now, once again, the problem was she was following God based on how she seen God, not on how God said it. Most of our discouragement and frustration comes from our interpretation of God, not how God showed us him to be. Do y'all see how that works? Where we mess it up is we already have this, well, God won't allow this. Did he say that? Or is that how you think he should be? And we get frustrated. And they do this. And you have the people in the world. And look what they said. Even in verse 9, it says, their mouths lay claim to heaven. This group will talk as if, oh, I'm a shoo-in. I'm going to heaven. And without us recognizing that I need to minister to them because they're now being misled and they're not headed to heaven, we go, oh, they're going to heaven. And they're doing everything they want. Why am I working so hard? You see how you're just deceived. We're going to see that, okay? Just keep an eye on that. But it says this group, they mouth to heaven. But watch this. Their tongues take possession of the earth. So they're basically saying, I'm going to live for down here. Oh, but I'm still going to heaven. And they'll say it boldly. They'll say it confidently. Like you said, they wear off this like a necklace. They have it so they present themselves. And we as Christians will watch and go, what is going on? That's why in verse 10 it says, therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in their abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. What it's saying is, and unfortunately, weak people will follow them. And there are more weak people than there are strong people. They'll go, look at that confidence. I'm in. Very confident. Very, very common, I mean, in which we see this and we're like, I'm going to follow this. So the world will start following them. You're doing what God says, and it seems like you're not as popular. It seems like things are not going the way you're supposed to, and it looks like they're winning. Once again, an example. This is an example. Now, here's the crossroad. Here's what's called the ultimate danger. The ultimate danger is us allowing what we see to distort how it really is. Watch his response here. In Psalm 73, 13 to 15, it says, surely, in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. He's basically saying, I'm doing everything you ask. I'm watching everything work out for them. Why am I doing this? Right? I'm sure nobody in this room felt that ever. Right? Where you're just like, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm watching them, but everything works out for them. That's why he said, surely, in vain, it has to be. You know, it has to be wrong. And he says, all day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. He's saying, I'm going through this struggle that I'm begging to you, God, to help me out of. And I'm watching them, and they're just as comfortable not serving you. What the heck am I doing? What is going on? Why am I struggling like this? But watch what he says in 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. What does he mean there? He's basically saying, if I would have really spoke my mind, I would have hurt the people that I'm responsible for. He's speaking as a minister here, okay? I would have, in other words, if I really told you how I really felt. You know, I told you years ago, I was watching this or listening to this podcast or documentary, and there is a group out there of atheist ministers. It blew my mind. I mean, I had to listen to the whole thing because, and there were people that would get up in front because that's their profession. And man, some of them were excellent at it. They were good. The congregation would follow. But they had no belief whatever happened in their life. And they would go follow this underground group, and they were atheists. They're basically saying, I'm not going to say it to the people because we'll lose our group. See, churches have become organizations to keep people coming in. Y'all get where I'm going with this? In other words, as long as it keeps you coming in, I don't care if I believe it or not. That's a problem. And not realizing, no, we are allowing what we see to distort us. Do you understand that? Even sometimes what we teach is not based on what he says, it's based on what we see. And it's become such a dangerous thing. This would be a crossroads for most. Most would go, so I'm done. Most would go, I got to find out what we call itching ear church to tell me what I want to hear. Some would go, I'm going to start adding this stuff to my life because nothing's going to happen to me. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? And they would surely think in their mind, I'm good and I'm still going to heaven because so are they. But watch this. The problem is we try to understand it based on how we see it. Before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil, they had to depend on God. Think about that. When their eyes are open, now I get the knowledge of it, and I have to take it in. We do have the knowledge of good and evil now. We have no idea what to do with it. Because the stuff that is good, we struggle with, well, is that really good? And the stuff that is evil, we're debating on, well, is it really evil? We know it is. God says it. But we struggle with it because of what we see. How I feel and how I've seen it affect people, I don't think it's that bad. Or how this looks, maybe it really isn't that good. Y'all see the problem here? It wasn't meant for us to do it because we can't. We can't see it daily with us raising our children. I see it daily with us in our marriage. We make these stupid decisions, and it's clear. Very clear. And we make it, and if you sit down and just ask a simple question, why? You understand that? It's simple. Very simple. We have the answer. So the crossroad will go the wrong way. Because we try to understand our own. But it says we cannot understand, and we become distorted in our understanding. We must gain true understanding through God. Did y'all get that? Okay? You try to understand this. If you sat down and really looked at the world and called yourself a philosopher or a thinker or an intellectual, you're actually doomed. Like I said, a lot of them we allow to come into church and start running the church, and they start using philosophy and their own intelligence to say, oh, here's your answer. And we start listening to them and going, Right? Instead of, what did God say? Look what it says here. In Psalm 73:16-20, it says, when I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me. Did y'all catch that? It makes no sense. I agree, by sight, when I see certain things, and I see a Christian go this way, and a person who's not a Christian, things work out, makes no sense. But that's why we walk by faith. Y'all see this? Okay, we'll get to that. Alright, but this is the key. Alright, my senses say this and it makes sense. And not realizing you're in a trap. Did you understand that? You know what I mean? Have you ever tried, you know, when people try to catch an animal or something like that, and then let's say you have a cage and you have to catch this animal in the cage, do you put something in it to scare the animal away to say, hey, this is a trap, I'm going to kill you? Is that how you track them into the same thing? Okay, that doesn't make sense, does it? It's stupid, right? It wouldn't make sense. So that's why Satan and the world doesn't attract us saying, this is going to kill you. Come on, come with me. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to make you feel bad. In the end, it's going to end up bad for you. It doesn't do that. It lures you in with making you think everything's great. That I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. Today's professing Christians say that. I'm doing all this junk that God says not to. Oh, but I'm going to heaven. No. And that's a problem. Very dangerous and scary problem. That's why he says, I tried to understand. So he, on his own, tried to understand this. He says, and it was oppressive to me. He went on to say, till, everybody say till. Till I enter the sanctuary of God. Did y'all catch that? Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destination. Two keys here. If the destination or the sanctuary of God is not teaching it, you're still not going to know. If you don't go to receive, you're not going to know. Does that make sense? He's like, the only true understanding is a Bible teaching church. You'll get the answer. You'll go, show me it in the Bible. They'll show you in the Bible and you'll go, amen. That's how it works. What we do is we get it from the Bible and then we go, am I going to accept this one or not? Do I like this or not? See, that's where it becomes a problem. But he's saying, I just wanted understanding. I went, I got it. Got it. Do you understand that? Okay? He took his intellect out the way and just received what God said. That's why he says, I understood their final destiny. He's basically saying, these people are doomed. It went from him envying them, and this happened to me in many cases, to me going, I need to minister to them. They're fooling themselves thinking, oh, and this is what we did with God's grace. Once you get his grace, there's nothing you can do to lose it. And you got people living out here like fools thinking, I'm going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. You understand that? Okay? And I'm talking about in hell eternally. Did y'all get it? It's not when you go to hell, then there's going to, now here's the second chance boat. Y'all get this? It's over after that. So the fear has to be put in there and of an understanding of, I'm making this decision and his grace is giving me chance after chance, but am I going to make the right decision? So he's saying, I finally understood. In verse 18 it says, surely You place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to the ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. In other words, they think by sight and senses things are going great, when in reality, they are doomed. Well, people don't realize, if you would have gone to Sodom and Gomorrah before it exploded, you would think it was a party town where everybody was so happy. Man, everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody's doing exactly what they want. Y'all get this? Okay, it wasn't some, you know what I mean, other than how they were treating the poor and how they were treating people, they were arrogant, you know what I mean, saying that, I'm talking about the people who were doing well, okay? They were oppressing people, they were hurting people, but you're talking about the main people, they're looking at them and we're good, and we're going to heaven. Y'all get this? Total destruction they did not see coming. Only when you go into God and you gain understanding from God that you will see this. You try to understand it, it will make no sense. Now, when we give strength to our frustrations, we are in a very dangerous place. That is why we must stay in the Lord. Psalm 73, 21 through 24 says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. Did y'all catch that? He said, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. Now, what does he mean by that? He's saying, when I first seen this, and it started to bother me, I started to become bothered. And my reactions were based on me being bothered, not based on what you said. Right? I seen one person one time, a Christian going after a job, and a non-Christian went after a job, the non-Christian got it. The other one went, well, I'm okay. You could see the look on their face and the hurt. That's normal. But then their reaction started becoming, I don't even want to work. You started seeing it reacting their work and their attitude and everything. God alone one time and say, you have to represent Christ. God, if this is his answer, accept it. You can't now react because your desire didn't happen. You're not living for your desire, right? You got to follow him. And he says, because if I allowed that to do it, I'm going to change. He says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. That's his key. He's saying, I felt this, but the key that kept me, I am always with you. Let me explain this to you. A lot of us will go to church one day. Like I said, in certain cases, because churches have even lowered the time of the actual feeding, you may get 15 minutes to a half hour of feeding. You'll go to church, you'll get all this other stuff, fluff and stuff like that, and you'll get 15, 30 minutes of feeding, and then you'll go an entire week until the next time, unless you can think of an excuse not to go, to get fed again. Problem is, are you with him? I'm not talking about in your own emotional way. See, we all have these ways which are really not with him, but we call it with him. Yeah, I'm with him. I talk to him all the time. Yeah, I'm with him. I think I read him. Are you really with him? Satan's like, yeah, go ahead. In fact, I'm going to go out here in the hallway while you go in there and sit down. In fact, I'll come in and I'll sit with you, and you learn all you want. Because I got you the entire week. I have you all to myself. And it's not because he tricked us. We just do it. I mean, I don't have time for that. Yeah, no, it's Bible study. I'm not doing that. Yeah, I gotta read my Bible. Maybe 10 minutes. But I'm gonna watch this 4-hour show. Maybe I'm going to splurge and watch the entire season of it. Then I'll read 10 minutes of my Bible. Don't care if I don't understand. You see where I'm going with this? Then we come out and go, why is life doing this to me? Why am I going astray? Why? Because you're really not with him. See, the difference was, he says, yet I am, how often? Always with you. Did y'all catch that? Oh, when I put my guard down is when Satan attacks. He says, you hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. But only when he does it. See, when I don't let him do it, my emotions will do it, the situations will do it, and I'll blame God. A lot of people out here do some of the craziest things, say, I think God led me to. No, it has nothing to do with what God said. Where'd you get that from? I felt very strong about this. Do you understand that? No. If the word didn't say, it didn't come from God. Stop making up this stuff and following it. He's saying, no, I am always with you. Your counsel is what's going to guide me. He's letting all of the, he's saying, it's because of you is where I go. Before I make a decision, I check with you. Even though I felt frustrated, even though I felt this way, I'm with you. And I said, well, how do you think about this? Think how different the whole season, would, the thing would have been in the garden. If Adam and Eve, when he went, took fruit and all this other stuff, they would have gone, wait a minute, God. Answer would have been, no. Still perfection. None would have happened. I got rid of the serpent. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? All would have been good. If they went, sounds great, God. I see more and more Christians do this. Yeah, but I heard. And what they're saying is, I really want to do this. And I know the Bible says I can't do this. How can I get both? The best of both worlds. How can I still be in God's good side and do what I want? And there's another church going, come on in. I'll let you do that. And you do it. And this is what he's saying. I am always with you. Our problem is we're not. And we go astray. Now, when we have the right focus, what we see has no effect on us. Do you understand that? Keep that in mind. When we have the right focus, what we see, you'll look at it and go, oh. In other words, you will be that, I'm going to show you this example. There's a place we lived in Homestown. And I guess it was close to a track or a field, whatever. And we got mice. And my wife is petrified of mice. Okay, so, but she had a friend that was an animal lover. So they said, get these humane traps. Okay, so okay, I did. So I got the trap, and the trap is made this way. And you put the peanut butter in the back, and the mouse goes in, and then as it eats it, the door closed behind him. Great. Caught the first one. I drove him some other place and let him go. So that was it. So he was gone. The mouse was gone. I put it back. Next day, I went. The peanut butter was gone, but no mouse. They figured it out. Do you understand that? I'm sitting there going, wait, what just happened? So I told my wife, just don't tell your friend because we're not using No more humane. No. The point I'm putting out there is, in other words, we get caught in the world, we start becoming accustomed to the world and start doing things the world's ways. Okay? And our focus is not right. Y'all get this? All right? But in this way, the mouse was able to go. I still want the peanut butter, but I'm not going to get caught in the trap. We as Christians have to go, oh, this is trying to trap me. Not, I really want this. You would go to a relationship and really desire the person, but the spirit would go, oh, I'm getting ready to be trapped. Not, oh, but I'm in love. Right? You wouldn't make so many dumb decisions because you wouldn't go off of your feelings. You go off of what God says. Yep, everything falls into place, but it doesn't fall in line with God. Can't do it. It would be just that instant. Things would work out perfectly. But we don't. We throw our emotions into it. Does that make sense? And if our focus is right, what we see has no effect on us. Like that mouse, you eat the peanut butter, you can get out because it's not a trap. It says in Psalm 73, 25-28, whom have I in heaven but you? That's the first thing he said. Basically, you know, some people want to get mad at God, they're like, I'm leaving. Next question, where are you going to go? Usually I ask them, now, seriously, where are you going to go? I mean, that's going to make things better. You may get temporary better, but you're going to be able to make eternal life. If you can, by all means, please, leave God. Give me your other choices. I'd love to hear them. They usually don't. They usually speak in, you know, in that one path. I'm leaving. God doesn't do anything for me. I'm leaving. And going where? Amen? Where are you going to go? That's what he says. Whom in heaven have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. He was like, I'm living for you. This is very important. That part where it says, earth has nothing I desire besides you. The problem is, and this is Christians, you got to hear this. We may say this, but you got to live it. We value things down here more than we value God. That's how Satan gets us. It can be our lives. It can be our happiness. It can be our children. It can be our relationships. It can be whatever we want. Whatever it is, if it plays a part equal to or above God, we're in trouble. God's not going, well, they really want it, so I'll give it to them. And when we raise our kids that way, they really want it, so I gave it to them. Y'all get this? He's saying, earth has nothing I desire because he allowed God to be his desire. Everything else had to flow through that. If it doesn't please God, I want nothing to do with it. That's what he says, nothing I desire besides you. He says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He realized where his true strength came from. He realized where feelings and stuff may fail. He has God. Verse 27 says, those who are far from you will perish. He's in the key, will. Remember I said, only in church that I know that. If I use my own intellect, I'll look at some people and go, I can't see him allowing them to go to hell. No, he's not allowing anybody to go to hell. He's given us the opportunity not to go to hell. But you have some people that you've already labeled a good person, really trying, but what the Bible says, they're in trouble. Do y'all get this? That they're doomed due to this. He says, you destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all of your deeds. Powerful, isn't it? So that psalm showed us a transition and one example of how if I allowed it, sight could have taken me away. But unless I'm with him, I'm doomed. Do y'all get this? I need to be focused and with him. So let's learn, understand what we learned in a nutshell. First of all, we tend to get led astray based on how we see it. Proverbs 14:12, and it also says in Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. I can assure you, if I get you far away from the Bible, you will give me some convincing sounding argument on why you're going to do what you're getting ready to do. And it'll be the dumbest thing you ever heard. Y'all get that? But it'll only be dumb if you're in the Bible. If not, you'll go, oh, that sounds good. Right? You'll hear people who have plans, and I don't hear how God fits into those plans. And unfortunately, it's because it's based on self and not on God. There's a couple of decisions I had to make, even with church. And the first thing I do is let me see how this works. And it blew my mind how many things I had to either cancel or we had to redo. Why? Because after I looked at it, I was like, that's not in there. I can't do this. Even though I thought it was a great idea, I can't do this. Do y'all get this? I looked at it and said, wait, we're going to now do it this way, but we can't because the Bible actually goes different than that. It's a way that seems right. Why? But in the end, it leads to death. I want you to see the key there. It's in the end. There's a lot of stuff you go through that while you're going through it may be beautiful. It may look like it's working outstanding. But in the end, do y'all get this? And the end is the end. Does that make sense? You know, I told you to track meet. I seen with the guy who was in first the entire race. And there's a guy who was in sixth place pacing himself. But the one was moving and he's running fast and he's running. And they were getting towards where the ribbon was coming up and he's getting ready to run across it. And his gas was gone. And person number one went past. So he was going to be in second place. Person number two passed him. Okay, he was going to be in third place. Person number three and four passed. The entire race, he was number one. But in the end, you don't even know his name. Y'all get that? He won nothing. And probably was exhausted. And a lot of us are living life that way. It looks great. Man, it's working. I'm not even following what God is saying. But in the end, do y'all get this? You're going to say, but God, he's going to go, wait, I gave you clear instruction on what to do. Yeah, but this was working. Was it? Here's a way that seems right. This is why we must use what he's given us. That's why I have, however, we have the complete answer right in front of us all the time. 2 Corinthians 5 says we live by faith, not by sight. You hear us say it all the time. We repeat it. Are we really doing it? Let me rephrase it for this matter. No matter what we see, perceived as good or bad, if it goes against what he says, it's wrong. Did y'all catch that? That's what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, I'm seeing this as clear as day. Let me check with it. Oh, it's wrong? Sorry. Everybody in the world says, but this is working, Keith. Everybody's using it, and it's working. And I see it's working. I feel it's working. Man, I feel everything about it's working. He said it's wrong. It's wrong. Did y'all catch that? That's how we're supposed to do it. It frustrates me as a Christian sometimes when I hear people use that. And I did it, and it worked. What are you doing? Not I really checked and the word said it. They say I did it, and it worked. It seems to be working. Everything falls into place. They give me all this feeling answer and not what God says. This is not just an answer. It's the only answer. It says in Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He's saying, if I'm just going to go 100% what he says, even though I'm going to look at things and go, No. And I'm telling you, I get these Christians that are figuring things out, and they're figuring their way out away from God, and Satan's going, yep, makes sense, doesn't it? You saw. And they're thinking they got it all figured out, and they're doing these things, and they're following these ways, and they're doing these things in their lives, and it feels good, and it seems like it's working until the end, because of their understanding. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Man, that one's always significant to me, because how many of us are really trying to straighten out our lives? What he's letting you know is, you can't. You don't know what straight is. You think you're walking straight, but the road is ever so curving to the left. But you don't know that. You know what I mean? You're going the wrong way, and you don't even realize it. Because you think, well, I'm going straight. I told you Pittsburgh has a lot of roads like that. And what you're driving on, you think you're going straight. And it just is a little bit. And when you get to the end of the year, like, I'm lost. I wasn't going north. I'm going northwest. What is this? And it's too late. Now you have to turn around and come back. And it blows your mind. It's not parallel with the way you thought, but the way it looked. But when it says acknowledge him, think of him as a GPS. It'll say turn here. Even on my mind, but I'm going straight. It'll say turn here. You'll turn there. You get where I'm going with this? Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's what it means. Check with him. If he says no, he told me no. He says yes, I got to do this. Not what you see, but what he says. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. We really lack fear. If we truly feared God, we wouldn't have anything of value down here that even equaled him, that even came close to him. And I wish I'd seen that. Fear is non-existent. We have a whole lot of valuable stuff down here. And we just want God to value it as much as we value it. All right? You see, with our children, we see stuff that we're doing with our children because we value our children. But we don't realize we value our children over God, in which we're destroying our children. Because God's the one who created our children. God's the one who gave us everything about our children. But then we go, I'm going to do this for my child, God. And I want you to do the same thing. God's going, no. That's my child. Right? How dare you, who have no idea what you're doing, tell me who knows everything. Right? But we do it. Don't we? We make these bad decisions and then we pray over it. And what should happen, you should hear a big no. But you don't. Because that's more valuable than God. And that's a problem. So finally, to see how to do it, you got to follow Jesus' lead. Look what he did. Matthew 4:1-7. It says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's significant. I told you this before. Because it's showing his state of mind was hunger. And of course, if you didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, you would be hungry. So this is a natural feeling. All right? And they put that out to let you know that is not an excuse. We have so many excuses today. And if I listen to it with my human compassion, I get it. Yeah, I know you've been through a lot. When I listen to my spiritual compassion, I'm going, man, don't let that get you. Stop making these excuses. Well, I'm having a hard time. Don't let that hard time make you go the wrong way. That's what it's saying here. When he says he was hungry, he says, then the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, he can't find a specific verse that'll say, don't turn stone to bread. But he was so locked in with God, he wanted to make sure. You know what? I know a verse that goes against it. I'm going to stay within his word. That's why he says, and I love it because he goes, it is written. His is, only way I'll do it, if I see, and the Bible clearly says, by all means, turn the stone to bread. But he said, no, I see something different. It is written. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's basically, until God tells me, I'm not doing it. Do you get this? Okay? And then it says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God. So then they go after our ego. They go after, well, I know I got this figured out. And they go after this. And he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. This happens to Christians a lot, in which you'll get the world. They'll use the Bible. And they'll distort God even more than you're distorting God. And you'll believe them. Oh, if you want it, God will do this. God's going to do this. God's going to, don't worry, God's with you. They'll say stuff to make you feel God is working the way you want him to work, not the way he says he's going to work. And they even use scripture. That's why he says it is written. But it says he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And that's true. That's in the Bible. However, he shows us, Jesus answered him, it is also written. That's showing us I got to be in the Word. And not just read. If you're just in there and you're reading and you're studying it with your human intellect, you're not going to get it. I'll tell you right now. Remember, the purpose of church is to give you that understanding. If you come here and you don't get it and you don't ask questions, you're not going to get it. Your responsibility is to get it, to know it, to apply it. Hold me responsible, or church leadership, to give it, for you to get it, help you to understand it, so you can apply it. You don't do it, your fault. Y'all get this? I told the teacher in one class I had, statistics, he said, come in, I'm going to teach it. If you don't understand it, come see me, I will go over it. And he was like, you follow this pattern, you'll do well in this class. Others, but he said, I'm going to give you homework, you got to practice it. But I'm not going to grade your homework. I'm going to give you pop tests. I'm not grading them. But they will help you in the study. He was giving us a key that God gives us now. Because if I don't get immediate response back from it, then I'm mad at God. Y'all see the problem? And then we try to do it on our own. And this is why we struggle. Understand that what you see was never meant to be the guide of where you're supposed to go. He is our guide. He is the way. So we must